Testing.
This is Robin, Becca, Carrie, and Leslie interviewing Rex Manley.
Okay. Rex, you were in World War II, right?
Correct.
Okay. Did you have other family in the war?
A wife.
You had a wife, okay. What are some changes that have happened in Bath County that you can remember from the time that you went to the war and since when you came back up until now? Industrialized and everything, trying to supply ammunition and stuff. How did the time that you were in the war?
Not to live. I've always resided here.
In what ways has the community been helpful through war times and I guess afterwards in farming and whatever else that you've gotten into?
Over here at the time of the war.
Oh. service, of course, I went into Texas, which the state of Texas is. The people are different. We're all different. Different states. I mean, we have a different view or a different way of. It's all American language, I guess to say, but we speak different. We're Kentuckians, and we're known as Kentuckians wherever we go. By the way, we're on a trip out to in the state of Iowa, and went to a motel, and the clerk and at the desk said, "Don't tell me where you're from." She was writing it up for the night. She said, "You're from Kentucky." So that's a different way. But back to what you were talking. Yes, the people in the islands, the native people, and they have a different dialogue from us, of course, a different language. But we're into the Philippines, they speak 17 different languages in the islands of the Philippines. So some islands don't know what the others are speaking, their language, their different dialects.
Were they affected in some of the same ways that we were? Like, were prices of things going up and short of help and stuff like that?
Well, I don't know, really, that to say. In the Philippines, there's more civilization. And, of course, in the service, so we didn't get to close contact with most civilians. So, what difference, I don't know. And the other islands I was on, Guadalcanal and New Guinea, and most of them are, well, I don't know how they live. They live ways that we could not live, their way of life. And they were, that I know about, were uneducated. They lived off of the wilds of the land, such as bark and roots and coconuts and things of that nature. There was no farming. And we couldn't live, I don't think, they lived, because we were not native. Well, the Philippines was rice, was their main staple. That was their main crop or main type of food, was rice. And of course, coconut is a big thing all through the whole days of the country. And I did spend quite a bit of time in New Zealand, which it is a very productive type of country. They are mostly sheep. And their way of life is more we are in the United States. Different type of people. And they had farming of a different type there, mostly sheep and cattle. But all through the other islands that I mentioned, such as New Guinea and the Philippines, numerous of islands I was over. There was no farming type of things I ever knew about.
How did seeing all that, like what they ate and all that stuff, how did all that affect you when you, how did it affect you personally, like when you got back here?
Well, it was like in a different world you get back here, yes. It's a different way of life, you're right. The type of people we saw all through, we are as Kentuckians, but the life in the service is altogether different. Yes, you just like going out of one rural land into the other when you get out of the service. It's a different way of life altogether.
Is there maybe like anything that that you've seen or that you maybe have done that changed what you may do now or something from seeing that?
Together as we did get out to get settled down in a different environment, a different way of life, by being a civilian yet, and I had to get settled as to what I was going to do in life. So I chose to quit farming and went to work. Saturday. That was their holiday, their belief, religious. But they were good. We say, maybe it could be worse. Not all that good. And I don't know what, you know, how to bring it better, but hope we have a future better.
Is it better or worse than when you were younger? Like, I don't know, maybe at the time of the war or when you were a kid, has it gotten like worse progressively or are things looking up or what?
Well, I think it's much better. Yes, I think, we're living in a much better time. I think in crime and this year, many things are going on, it's much worse in that way. And I think only this year, what we call dope and all that sense, of course, that was unheard of in my early. In fact, I never heard of the last year I was from the service. But it's very bad. I think crime and lawlessness is so much more. Yeah.
Is there anything else that we may have neglected to hit on that have been significant? Anything that you'd like to share?
Good. a ship for someone to come out to cut their hair. So I went out to the ship, a small ship, and I cut their hair. I believe it was 26 on board, sailors. They'd been at sea for months. And they had ice cream. I had a noon meal with them. Ice cream. They made it on the ship. The first week they had, or I'd had for 2 to 3 years, you know, never heard of ice cream, so I've never forgotten. I had ice cream for, you know, I don't remember anything else. So I stayed aboard the ship all that day, and I'll tell you, not one thing I've forgotten is ice cream. So life and living, food, it's all.
Get more, you have a lot of nervous breakdowns, and
even after I come home, with 4 or 5 months shy of hearing the weapons bar, I still have imagination or near hearing. And I heard other boys say they could hear that ring, the sound of the weapons, you know, far. So, no, you never get here, sir.
Well, I guess that's all we have, and we thank you for being
cooperative. I don't know how I've answered you. It's a long,
good job.
I could go ahead and go into a lot of things that I don't know if the points of interest, but I can tell you, like, little stories, big stories. Listen, our mess kitchen hall was bringing up food to the front line, and there's some kind of a little building, and a Japanese come out, and he throw a hand grenade. And you got to pull the pin for it to go off, explode. Front and it was bringing up our mess, all the kitchen, as we call it. We had them big 20-gallon pails. That's usually what most of us carried in. And this Japanese started to throw a hand grenade, and one of the boys in the kitchen, he had a bunch of spoons and forks in his hand. Of course, he had his weapon, but he didn't have time to draw. So he just up and threw those spoons and forks at that Japanese, and in Japanese excitement, in that 5-second period, why, he dropped a hand grenade instead of throwing it, and went off and killed him instead of throwing it into our Jeep. So that's another incident. One incident, I can go on and tell you a whole dozen of little stories of that nature.
What part did the ships play in the war?
What part did they play?
When the airplanes, did they shell or how they landed?
Oh, yes. Well, we went across in 1942, of October, and that's the beginning of World War II. And we were greatly outnumbered by the enemy. And we left the harbor of San Francisco, 7 transport ships, and each ship roughly carried a division of troops, 18,000 they say, some carried more. Well, we crossed the Pacific with 1 destroyer. No air cover whatsoever. So we're only sitting ducks. And how we got across, I do not know. But we do without any interference from the enemy, Japanese. Although one ship I was to go on, 3 days before I sailed, I was transferred from one arrangement to another, and they put me on another ship. Ship I was supposed to go on if I had not been transferred. It was sunk off of Hawaii. And a lot of my buddies and so on were gone if I had been in the service with and training. And Roger Narsh was one in Bath County. He's now dead. He was on it. And the captain, my captain, the former company, he was killed. But I was 3 days there and went into another outfit, so I escaped that. And then another incident, went on later and on the ship, U.S. Macaulay, went into New Caledonia. Those were 20,000 troops or so. We went in fine. The ship went back out from the harbor into the open sea, and the Japanese got it. It was him. One thing, there's always things in your mind you never forget. Our bunks were 7 high, on top of each other. And where I was on the 7th deck, high seat. And we had a water cooler, ice, what we have today, the press a button and get the cold water. So I'd get up early in the morning before the other gang around me would get up and get me a cold drink. Because, you know, when you run out of cold water, there's many men on board, you know, that drink that cold water and run out in a hurry. I mean, so I'd get up in the morning. I remember that very well. I'd try to get up before the rest of the whole, most of the gang. That was a lot of them doing the same thing. They'd get me a cold drink. You know, it's so hot in there, you're just so warm. So that's another little incident I'll bring forth. And I don't know. I didn't get any wounds. I can give you some close calls. Our company medic and I were at together, and we were being shelled with artillery, and we were hit the ground with our arms spread fold. Well, that's the first thing you do. And the medic, he just ran by me, and the shell hit and broke his arms, and it was a dud shell. It didn't go off, so it broke both his arms. In other words, things out like that, you know. And that shell hit both arms. Broke his arms. Of course, we went off. I wouldn't be here telling you. So, I mean, I could go on and on, little things like that. That went to bigger things, I reckon. I don't know. But what else? You want to hear anything else?
Anything else you want to tell us?
Ship to the other, go back and forth, small vessels. So we just hop from one island to the other. So the the Japanese had suicide planes, and they would dive into these ships. And of course, when they hit the ship, no telling how much damage they'd load to the explosive. And they were suicide planes. They had their last rituals or rites the Japanese have before they went. Of course, they knew what was happening, you know. They were just suicide. So we had a lot of that. The Japanese had done a lot of damage with their ships that way. And our last big deal was on the ship, we went into Philippines on Mangayan Gulf. And that was the second largest invasion of World War II. That's next to Normandy landing. So we had quite a bit of that. Japanese suicide planes were making that plan. So that was my last mission there. I was there January and the war's end. And I was on Bataan when we heard the ship horns, the fog horns, and when peace was signed. We knew what had happened. There it was around 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if we was what hour or day ahead of time. That's where I was on the camp. And I would say the last of the part of the war, was some of the about as hard a combat as I had during the whole period. We was up in guarding the Ipo Dam. That's a dam that furnished water for the city of Manila. We was there like 3 weeks. We had no food. We about half and we'd get about half. We'd divide it, you know. They'd drop it to the Japanese, our line. You know, you couldn't drop it right to whichever one get to it first. That was the point. So we got about half and half on that deal. So that was about 3 or 4 weeks up there. It was about a rough life that I had in the whole service. So I was on the ship 28 days returning from board the ship about 4 or 5 days before we started to sail. So we came back, it's 28 days, come back to Seattle, Washington, Puget Sound. And we had a big blowout there. They met us down, what is it called, that river up there coming up Puget Sound. And they met us with band and all that kind of stuff. And I, for one, kissed the grounds of the United States in the state of Seattle, Washington. And we had a big meal that evening. We had turkey, I remember.
Probably the best turkey you've ever eaten.
That's the first I'd had for a long time. Although, being over there three Christmas, we never missed a Christmas meal. We always had, I believe we had at least two times we had turkey at Christmas meal, or dinner meal. We had Christmas dinner in Taupe, New Guinea, and as soon as we ate, while everything loaded up, we went to ship and we headed for Philippines as our last Christmas there. We did have a Christmas meal with peaches and years I was over three of them.
How long were you over there for total?
I was over there 3 years and 7 months.
7 months. It's a long time.
Yeah. The other days get too long. Too really long. Oh, a lot of things you forget and a lot of them stays with you. Just some instances like I just mentioned there, they stay on and on. I cut the Navy officer's hair in a dental chair. And he filled my teeth, three teeth. He was a dental officer and he wanted a haircut, so he had a dental chair, and that was in New Zealand. So he filled my teeth. And he wasn't bound to in that sense, because we had no dentists over there anyway, as far as I know, in the Army, but anyway, I reckon there was some, but anyway, he had two, they went on with it, that I did not have. But to say he, and those fillings stayed in until about 4 or 5 years ago that he put in. Well, I mean, things like that, you carry on and on memory. So we came into Seattle and come on down to Camp Atterbury, Indiana, and I called Roxy. Roxy, she came to Texas. She stayed about, 7 weeks, 6 weeks in Texas with us. She had a visit. Saw the armadillos. By the way, I got an armadillo on the door in there. Texas armadillo. You ever see an armadillo?
Not up close.
Jackrabbits?
No.
You haven't seen no jackrabbit?
No.
Horned toads? There's armadillo.
Texas. It's not on now.
Well, we're talking out of... So we had a lot of experience, I'll tell you. It's, I guess you call it educational, but there's a lot of bad times and some good times. It's hard. Boys you've been with, stayed with, lived with, stay with 24 hours a day. I just sent two letters off today to a couple of boys in Minnesota and one in South Dakota. Not like we are, you're here and gone now, but we stayed together, no place else to go, 24 hours a day, you drink, eat, and sleep. very close.